It's been 2 weeks, and now we're back from the Long Beach Grand Prix, no less.
Yeah.
Of course, we're going to bring you your 91 Octane headlines. We're going to do the headline head-to-head, and then we're going to cover the Long Beach Grand Prix as we see it. But don't forget, we have affiliate links down below if you're on YouTube, or if you're not, and you're listening through the podcast right now, go see it through YouTube, or I will have it up on our website. Anything you do using those links, some of them have discount codes, some of them don't, but anything that you buy through those links goes through supporting our show and endeavor, so we really appreciate it. Also, use code JACKSTANDS for 10% off and free shipping orders over $35. So I think that's it. Let's start the show.
This thing is a freaking monster.
Welcome to 91 Octane. I am John and...
I'm Tony.
Yeah, buddy. And so we're back after 2 weeks with some exciting stuff and some not so exciting stuff. But first, of course, we're going to start with your 91 Octane headlines. And I think this week you're going to kick us off, Tony. So let's go.
All right. So, study finds cars that remain on road after collisions 420 times more likely to be Ultimas. That just shows how durable they are.
Okay, so I need you to settle a debate I had in my head about this one. So this one was originally going to be Demolition Derby bans Ultima for being too OP.
Okay.
That was going to be the original one, and then I modified it to this one to be a little more mainstream. Did I make the right decision?
You know what? I think you did.
Okay.
I think on this one you did. On this one you did. Yeah, I thought so too.
I thought so too.
Yeah, yeah. Because you know what? In all reality, ain't nobody doing motorsports in Ultimas.
Yeah. No, that's true.
Except for Bay.
Except for Bay. But that actually almost even makes it more funny that it's just something that's not being done. You know what the hardest part about that post was?
Which was?
Putting the eyelashes on the car.
I'm surprised there wasn't already like a stock photo somewhere with it.
There were, but nothing that really worked with the angles that I was working with.
Okay. Got it.
Because, yeah, if you search Ultima on Google, it's like the first 10 image results are Ultimas with eyelashes on them.
Yeah. I mean, you could always just hit them up directly. You know how to do that, right?
Hit who?
The owners.
The Ultimals owners?
Yeah.
Call the prison? No, wait, where?
No, you just go on Instagram and you go lashes by and message any of the accounts that come up
that
right
come
there.
Come up with lashes by. Are these promotional tools? Is that what you're saying? This is marketing?
Maybe.
I guess that'd be a smart move. What would it take to put eyelashes on your car?
On my personal car.
On your personal car.
Not on someone else's.
Not on someone else's.
It would take for me to build Bay.
So if you build Bay, which for those who don't know, Bay is our, at the moment, fictitious Ultima race car at the moment, but almost a touch of reality. And whenever we talk about this,
we do love
the underdog cars.
It lingers.
So, but that would be cool. Right?
Yeah.
Would be cool.
I would find it cool, yeah.
But I'm talking about, like, on your Cobra, you know, on your S19-7.
I'd need a fat sponsorship by Lashes by Blank.
But what would that sponsorship be? Like, you know, like, $200 a month? You know, some tires? What would it take?
It would take my entries for the season.
That's not that bad.
I don't drive the Cobra every day.
Yeah, so like entries for the season and every event.
Every event, yeah.
So
every
like
event. Yeah,
once
yeah.
a month, 12 events.
Oh, at that point, I just have to see how many I can go to. I'd take advantage of it.
So you could potentially be there weekly.
I could potentially be there weekly and be like, John, we're just recording remote every other week.
Okay, so let's do the math on that. This is nerdy, but I kind of want to know. So 52 weeks in a year. You're probably going to miss like holiday weekends.
Probably, yeah.
So let's take Thanksgiving away from there and Christmas away from there. That still puts us at a very aggressive 50.
I'd say minus 10 for issues and breakdown.
Okay.
Because I'm going to break down. That's for sure.
Okay, so 42. And roughly fees are what right now? 400?
I think so.
For a weekend?
On average. I think they fluctuate, I think, depending. Yeah.
Okay. 400. Okay, this is a decent sponsorship. It's $17,000 that they're paying you per year just to rock eyelashes on your car.
I would rock the eyelashes.
Okay, would you also rock eyelashes yourself?
I don't need to, right?
They're lush already. Oh, man. I think Bay, every time we talk about it, it just seems like a great idea.
They come in manual, John. Yeah. They come in manual. Yeah. You can tune those 3.5s.
I'd be curious to see how they handle, but we're not going to find out until we do it. So.
That's true.
So we should just do it.
Is there a reason you didn't release this on 420 since they were in so close proximity?
I've never been a celebrator of 420. 420 has always been like, oh, it's 420, haha, we move on.
Yeah.
You know, because I didn't really even have, although I sort of regretted it once I saw some of the other satire companies putting out 420 content. It's not something I've ever really done like
Got
that.
It.
Yeah. It's more year round for me.
Okay. Yeah. Because I saw the 420 times more likely. And then I zoomed in the pictures like, is it hotboxed? Like, what's up?
Yeah.
Like,
that was more of a, it was more alluding to the drive, Ultima drivers than anything else.
Got it. There's just the fun default numbers we kind of use.
Yeah. You know the numbers. You know.
All right. Take us into our next one.
All right. OJ Simpson died.
Yeah.
And his white Bronco readies a tell-all book stating how it survived. The wrath of O.J. Simpson.
Man.
How big was this for you, what, like on your radar growing up?
Oh, I thought you meant him dying.
No.
Not very big, to be honest.
Really?
It was more the pop culture afterward that I caught from it. You know
right.
what I mean?
All the shows,
his all books. the glove mentions, you know, if it don't fit, you must have quit.
Yeah.
It was all the pop culture references after that more told the story than me actually hearing about the story.
Do you think he did it?
I never looked at it any deeper than the pop culture references.
Oh, really? So you never really got down to making an assessment?
No, but I know the joke is that, yeah, he fucking did it.
Yeah. I don't know that that's much of a joke. I'm Camp He Did It, but
You're
got
camp
away
he
with
did
it.
It.
Yeah.
But got away with it. Okay.
But it's easy for me to say that. I mean, and I probably have as much evidence as you do with the pop culture stuff. But a question for you around this, if your cars could talk, what would they say about you?
Oh, they would not like me. They would not like me, man.
What would they say? What would they say?
Neglectful.
He's a neglectful owner.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I leave them in a dark room and lock the doors.
Yeah, sounds familiar.
That's the garage.
Yeah,
They're left for in this locked dark room weeks at a time.
Yeah. What positive things would they say?
They only get premium fuel.
Okay. Premium liquids only.
Yeah. At least right now, I don't leave them broken. They stay running.
Okay.
They stay running.
Have you had in the past?
Where I left them.
Like exes? You know?
There's been situations where I don't have the cash to fix them.
Right.
Or sometimes not the knowledge
to
fix them.
So he's a broke-ass fool is one of the...
Yeah. No, that's been one of them in the past. It's like fucking broke-ass fool or dumb fucker don't know how to fix me. Like,
all right.
So they've sat back there, you know.
Yeah.
A couple of them was been a bit predatorial. Ooh. Like when I bought a donor car and I drove it home and fucking cleaned it up and then like... 2 weeks later, you know, just when the car thought it was comfortable in its new cozy home, I started ripping it apart for parts and putting it in the other car.
What are you doing to me?
Yeah. So I had a little serial killer vibes from that one.
Are there, and you don't have to go into the detail, but are there things that your cars would know that you wouldn't want anyone else to know?
That they would know that I wouldn't want anyone else to know.
Yeah.
Okay, no details, but the Blue Fox that I had for a very long time.
Yeah, yeah.
For large jobs, like large mechanical jobs and repairs and swaps and upgrades, that was my learning car.
Okay.
And there are things that I had to do and redo later because I did it janky as fuck the first time.
I'd say that's pretty innocuous, right, in terms of information. I think those are details that we all went through, like, the learning phase.
Yeah. There's one I can even talk about because I did fix it after, and it is kind of funny.
Yeah.
There's the oil dipstick coming into the side of the motor.
Yeah.
I had ripped out the headers and redid the headers the first time. The very, very first time I did it, swapped out the shorty headers, right?
Yeah.
And it was a pain in the ass. It was my first time trying to do something like that. And I forgot to put the mounting bracket that stabilizes and holds the tube for the oil dipstick.
Okay.
So it was kind of just
swinging around.
Yeah, the tube that holds the dipstick was just kind of flopping around, and I saw that the bracket had to go to a bolt on the header.
Yeah.
I was so done, dude, and I was, like, so annoyed by trying to do this.
You're like, fuck it.
I cut a license plate that I had, and I made my own bracket off to the side to hold it.
Oh, what? I'd say that's pretty ingenious.
I don't know. It didn't work? Oh, it worked for like a year.
Only a year. And then what happened?
I pulled the motor out.
Oh, well, it only
stopped
working.
And then I fixed it.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it worked the whole time. It was legit. It never stopped working. I painted it black, like a matte black. So like nobody ever really noticed. Even when I took it to car shows, I popped the hood and nobody noticed.
Honestly, I'd kind of think it'd be kind of cool. Like that you made a little bracket out of a license plate and used that.
I mean, it was literally license plate. I bent the metal and put some tech screws. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's cool. Like, whatever. I mean, it much better than just leaving it hanging. You know what I mean?
It was going to leak if I left it hanging.
Yeah,
it was
absolutely.
Bad. Yeah, it was bad.
But there are some people out there that would have just left it hanging.
Maybe.
Or maybe there was a moment in your life. Yeah.
RVT. Fuck it.
Have you ever had a car fall off a jack stands?
Or
roll on you?
Ooh, I don't know if I'll be here. Oh,
I've had it happen to me. I had a coworker do it in the parking lot at work at my last job.
Oh,
he was very flustered. You could tell that he didn't really know his way around like mechanical stuff and working on cars, even something as simple as this. And he was already very agitated because he got a flat and he had to leave work. And so he's using the scissor jack, but the parking lot is on a bit of a slope. So once he got it high enough, and he's just like tugging on the scissor jack. He's not even being gentle about it. He's just going
fucking shit.
And you just see, from the window, I was inside the office. So from the window, I could see the car just, and I'm like, oh shit. I really hope he's not close to that car. And just boom, onto the rotor. Because he had already removed the wheel. I was like, oh man. So I go out there and help him. And honestly,
rotor cracked?
Nothing.
Really?
Yeah. It held. And there was just enough room to get the scissor jack back under there and pick it back up. But I was like, dude, we're going to have to do this quick because we obviously know it's going to fall off if we do this again.
Yeah.
So we chalked up the wheel with like some random rock that was laying there and got it up and got it done. But I was like, oh man. Also here in this garage, I put the front of the Rio on ramps, and I didn't notice.
Scare me.
I didn't notice that the front wheels were right on the edge of sort of the crest of the ramp, right?
Okay.
Right before it becomes the flat part.
Yeah.
It was on there completely, but then when I started jacking up the rear because I needed the full car off of the.
Oh, you had already put it in park. I'm good.
Right, I'm good. It's up on the ramps. I need to jack up the rear because I need all four wheels off the ground.
Yeah.
As I'm jacking up the rear, what I'm not noticing is that by jacking up the rear, it's actually pulling the car back further from the ramps.
Yeah.
It hits the part where the slope of the ramp, and I just feel the car come back on me. And so I jump to the side of the car, get away from the back of the car.
Oh, no.
What's worse is that the wifey's car is parked right behind the Rio. So I'm like, best case scenario, I've destroyed her front end. Worst case scenario, I've put a car on top of another car, and I don't know how I'm going to be able to get it out.
Oh, it was that close.
It was that close. It seemed so high off the ground. And it caught the edge of the garage, the edge of the cement. You know how there's that groove right there? The jack caught that end and just stayed there. And it was like millimeters from the bumper of the other car.
Wow.
And it held, dude. It held. I was so happy.
Was solution first get her car out of the way? Or
that was the immediate first solution, right? Get it out of the way. Then after that, kind of scope out how I'm going to get it all back down again. But it had already made it off the ramps. So I just needed to lower it on the jack. Then, you know, it was fine with the handbrake hitting the rear. And then moved the car back in and then swore off working on the car for the next 2 weeks. That was probably the dumbest thing I've ever done.
Oh, man. I did almost drop the motor the first time I pulled it out of the Fox body.
Wait, how?
I didn't know what I was doing. I was winging it.
Mm-hmm.
I had some good advisory. Shout out to my buddy Angel. He works at GTR High Performance.
Okay.
So he actually knows what he's doing when he's working on these Mustangs.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
And back then, he was my roommate.
Okay.
So I was like, well, I want to pull out the Fox body motor. That's when I fixed my dipstick.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do reseal, timing chain, like, you know, just kind of whatever I could replace and rebuild on it, start refreshing that whole bottom, you know?
Yeah.
And he, you know, he works all day on these. I don't want to be the guy that's like, hey, dude, I know you're on these cars all day. Help me do this heavy line work.
Yeah.
On top of that, you know?
Yeah, but you did it anyway.
I hit him up when I needed him.
Oh, okay.
So
just
it was
kind of
like, hey, let's get this up here. And I was like, I was trying to get it out. And he's like, oh, like, just, you know, make sure everything's disconnected. You know what I mean? Put it on the tire, make sure you move it this way. He gave me a bunch of little tips or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was that I did. I think it's because of the way I tied it, if I'm remembering correctly. The way I had it on the attached to the motor.
Yeah.
It offset the balance on the lift.
Okay.
So when I actually jacked up the engine hoist to get it up.
It tipped the hoist.
It tipped the fucking hoist.
Oh, man. But you said almost dropped it. So
almost. It stopped.
Oh.
It stopped. Like it didn't get high enough just because I had it so fucked up that when I started jacking it, as soon as it kind of got like almost out of the engine bay is when it kind of tipped.
Yeah.
So
and
when
you were
it
like
tipped, it kind of hit the inner perimeter of the engine bay, right?
Oh.
And that's what held it. So then I just kind of like lowered it back down, fucking shoved it over, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, I need a man. And I called my roommate like, hey, you need to help me get this fucking thing out.
Yeah,
I'm about to destroy
dude.
My shit.
Oh, God. Yeah, man. It's like, our confidence always outpaces our skill.
Yes.
When it comes to car stuff.
Yes.
And I think that's just sort of the natural thing you have to get used to, right? I mean, you're not going to know what you're doing
you
until
can't
you do
be
it.
Afraid to fuck it up.
Yeah. But dropping a motor or losing a car on some ramps is not fun.
No.
Anyway, next headline.
All right. Prolific urinator Calvin arrested after 25-year spree.
Yeah, and I can't imagine there are people who don't know who Calvin is, at least not in our generation.
Okay, that was actually going to be my question.
Which is,
where does it stop that people don't know, didn't get this reference?
I think it's Gen Z.
Okay.
Right? When does Gen Z start?
I have no idea.
So I think, I don't know. Actually, if only we had the internet.
Yeah, where's our, like, research guy on the side?
Yeah,
like, hey.
Yeah. Let us know, Gen Z years. All right. Gen Z spans ages 12 to 27. So I think part of, so mid to late 1990s to early 2000s, I think this Calvin thing stopped in, like, the 2010s.
That's what I was kind of trying to remember is when it stopped, because I haven't seen one in I don't know how long.
Yeah, I mean, it's been decades. I didn't think it was a thing anymore. They're still being sold. But I haven't seen one on a car. Unless it looks like it's been there since the 90s.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, and again, California's our own little ecosystem.
That's true, too.
Right, because when was the last time you saw truck nuts or a club, but they're still being sold?
Well, I've seen clubs and truck nuts very recently.
Okay, well, that was us.
Yeah. apart from us, I have seen, I mean, especially out here.
Yeah.
You haven't seen truck nuts recently?
I've seen some, but I feel like mine is a little bit more.
Have you
an
seen
outlier.
The ones that go in the front, the trunk dongs?
No.
I'm just fucking with you there.
Oh, okay.
I mean, no.
You got to be careful saying these on the podcast. These could be like million-dollar ideas.
Trunk dongs. Trunk dongs by 91 Octane.
Bumper dongs.
They just drag, you know, like. Oh, that's ridiculous.
I mean, when a wreck, they're aerodynamic. So.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah. They protect the front bumper. There they're more is. Than just decorative.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Function.
You can get like actuated ones, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. What were we talking about? All right. Yeah.
Oh,
Calvin.
Yeah. Calvin stickers.
Did you? Okay. So I'm thinking half of Gen Z, like a 27-year-old, maybe the older third of Gen Z might know. Like anyone.
So I guess in our mind, are we cutting off Calvin stickers kind of being a thing around,
I think, like
2005, maybe?
That's right where I was going to go.
Okay.
You read my mind.
Yeah.
Like around 2005, like they're not a thing anymore. And by 2010, the people that had them had removed them from their cars.
Yeah.
Did you ever have one?
No.
A shirt? Because it wasn't just car stuff. I mean, they had shirts.
Okay.
They had stickers.
No. So. And again, this could be just me living in my bubble,
mm-hmm.
but it definitely was not a Hispanic thing.
Really?
At least that I remember, and people that I've seen with them and family members. Like, I don't know of any family member or related friend person of a Hispanic culture that had one.
I would know it to be a complete opposite.
Really?
Yeah. Like, when you, like, in LA, like, if you were, like, the Paisa mod, right? Paisa Civics, Paisa trucks. You were seeing this.
I was seeing it mostly with pickup trucks running Fox stickers.
Oh, interesting. So it wasn't as prevalent out here.
No.
Because in LA, there was every flavor of Calvin peeing on something. It was Calvin peeing on Chevy, Calvin peeing on Ford, Calvin peeing on BMW.
And I've seen all those, but mostly on
the internet.
No, not so much on the internet, but mostly on, like, fucking trucks. Like, the motocross guys. I saw it on those a lot. If they were towing something, they would always have, like, a Chevy or a Toyota one or whatever, you know?
And, I mean, you had a lot of the motocross guys out here, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, out in the IE. Growing up in L.A., I'm sure there were motocross guys out there, but you didn't really notice it too much. It was more of the street scene.
Yeah.
And then you saw, it was the same people that would rock like the little devil girl and the angel girl.
Mm.
You know, those.
Yeah,
also see the Calvin on them as well.
Okay.
I mean, it was everywhere for a really long time. I was surprised.
Then again, it could also be, you know, that the last ones I remember seeing were on those.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing a bunch of them, but maybe I wasn't really demographicking people back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus once their life was ending for me was when I was actually starting to drive and everything. And on the road, that's what I was seeing.
Yeah, I never really. I mean, were you into Calvin and Hobbes? I was really into Calvin and Hobbes.
Really?
And for the longest time, I didn't know that this was the same Calvin. Yeah,
okay.
Because he just looks so mean in the peeing. I don't even know what comic that's from, but then I saw that, and I was never really interested in rocking it. But again, this was always the like, the cars were like the rosaries on the rearview mirror, right? Those are the ones that you'd see with something like this.
Okay,
at least where I grew up, I'd be interested to know how the rest of the country sees this Calvin.
We have out-of-state viewers.
Let us
know. How do you guys have Calvin?
Yeah, let us know. Do you remember Calvin? You even had Calvin. Let us know in the comments.
If you have a picture of your Calvin peeing on a BMW sign, send it to John.
Yeah. Or an Audi, or definitely a Mustang. Or if you have a picture of yourself peeing on a Mustang, don't send that to us. Just send it directly to Tony.
Make somebody get addressed over here.
All right. Well, now we're getting to our last headline. Corn farmers extend thanks to car community for putting their kids through college. This is actually from The Simpsons. I don't know if you remember Homer Simpson always ate hot dogs from a hot dog vendor. And Marge apologizes to the hot dog vendor. And the hot dog vendor goes, "Miss, your husband is putting my kids through college."
Yes, okay.
And that's where this idea came from. Also, right, it's not just corn that makes E85. It's also sugarcane, but I wanted to keep it shorter.
Yeah.
So I just used corn farmers because E85 is very, very popular probably in the last 10 years or so. I mean, we've seen gas stations pop up everywhere. People are getting tunes. We just discussed, you know, you detuning from E85 to regular pump gas. Are you anti-E85? Why'd you move away from that?
Because I live in the boonies, John.
There is no E85 stations.
I think there is. It's just there's not enough out there.
Right.
I do live kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So.
Yeah. So if you did have the infrastructure, you would keep it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Did you end up finding out, like, what the horsepower difference is?
No, I didn't really look into it. No,
Okay. Yeah, because I know that was a question for us as well.
Yeah, so the context behind that was the car that I have right now was dyno-tuned at 510 running E85.
Right.
I immediately redid the tune for 91.
Yeah, makes sense. 91 octane.
Yep. You know what? Maybe that's why. But I live in an area where, you know, I'm driving past farms to get back to civilization and then come out here. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm kind of like, I'd rather not deal with having to hunt it. I'd rather have something more readily available all the time.
Yeah. Have you ever considered any point like the flexible fuel?
Oh, like a fuel flex.
Like a fuel flex.
Like a
yeah.
fuel flex. Honestly, I haven't really looked too much into it.
Yeah, me either. I wonder how they work. Like, what the downside to it is.
There's cars that do it from factory.
Right.
Right? And essentially, they just recognize what the mixture is and then try to adjust for that, right?
Right, yeah. But, like, is there, like, an adjustment period where there's risk, right?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
That's a real good question. I don't know.
I have no idea. I haven't actually had the pleasure or luck of driving an E85 car. Only driving behind one at the track, and you can smell it, right? It has a very, very distinct smell. But I'm also not a horsepower chaser in that way.
Yeah.
Were you ever a horsepower chaser?
When I had no money, it was really hard.
Yeah, yeah. Were you actually chasing any horsepower? Were you window shopping?
A couple, like one or two.
Yeah. An intake. Yeah.
Well, so like the Mustang scene started off like with most Mustang drivers under the drag racing thing.
Right, right.
But because at the time, you know, I made zero money really, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it
yeah.
It was minimum wage shit. So everything that I did was more like, well, on the other side, right? It was, let's delete our AC. Let's delete our power steering. Let's get higher gears. Let's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's do nitrous. Let's do fucking stickier tires. And then, you know, that's all we could really chase after because there wasn't the budget for let's put a big supercharger on it. You know what I mean?
Right. Nitrous is also not really as popular as it once was during the Fast and the Furious era, early 2000s.
Yeah.
You know, when I frequently talk about a history teacher I had who would walk around campus holding a nitrous bottle because he thought it was cool.
He was just getting high.
Yeah, probably. Probably. would you do nitrous?
I have.
But would you do it now?
Now? No.
No. Why did you do nitrous before?
Because it was the cheapest way to get any power.
Oh, really? Yeah. Were you drag racing, though?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
That's where the life of the Fox body started.
Oh, you were drag racing a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Any trophies?
No.
No. Sorry to put you on the spot. I was really expecting a yes.
No. No. So most of the stuff was like Thursday nights at Irwindale.
Right, I remember
where it wasn't
that.
Like a full bracket racing, which in all reality, in hindsight, that is where I should have been doing.
Bracket racing.
I should have been doing bracket racing. I should have been working on learning more about, like, tires, tire pressures, my launches, and things like that.
Right? Yeah.
But instead, I was like,
Nas.
Nas, yeah. I was like, Nas. I was going to junkyards trying to pick up GT40 heads and do the, you know, the Explorer upper lower intake manifold swap, doing the shorty header swaps.
Like, yeah.
I was trying to do these junkyard mods chasing power with no money or budget, rather than just saying, well, let's just pay the $20 at Irwindale and practice bracket racing. In hindsight, I would have had a much more reliable car.
Yeah.
I probably would have saved money. I probably would have been a better driver. Like,
so no matter what the discipline, it's always seat time.
Yeah.
Always seat
kind
time.
Kind of, yeah, yeah.
Did you ever, bet money?
Did I ever bet money?
Benny, bet money on your own races?
No. It was always just kind of showing up there and pairing up with random people. You know what I mean?
And it was always Irwindale and not the street.
It was always Irwindale.
But okay. So there's two types of street, right? There's a street where you catch someone at a stoplight.
Yeah.
Which happened a lot. I don't know that it happens a lot anymore, but that used to happen. There used to be people that would literally just circle blocks looking for people to run back in the day. Then there's also the let's meet up at this spot and do some underground races. Were you part of that scene at all?
It wasn't a very large group, but it was that.
Okay.
It was a super small group that honestly was mostly just a bunch of friends.
Got it.
And
yeah.
Mostly if you were friends with my friend, you might have got invited. And that's about as big as it really
right.
got.
Very exclusive group.
Kind of.
Of
yeah.
junkyard drag racers.
It was just broke boys kind of doing
Nos,
shit.
Bro, we got Nos.
It was broke boys doing stupid shit.
Yeah. That's cool, dude. Everybody started somewhere, man.
Yeah.
Everybody started somewhere. But let's move on to our next segment, the headline head to head. I feel like it's been forever since we've done this, but we did do it 2 weeks ago.
Correct.
You won the last game, right? No, I won the last game. We are 2-2-4, so I have 2 wins. We have 2 ties. You have 4 wins. Bastard. You've done really well in this game, but since I actually have the victory on the last one, I'm going to choose to go first, and I'm going to choose to be the asker of the question.
All right.
To kick us off. All right, so here we go. You can now purchase the Mustang GTD. How much will it cost you?
Ooh, give me the multiple choice because I don't think I can remember the full exact number.
Okay, your options are $325,000, $425,000, $525,000, or $625,000.
All right. I'm hoping I'm remembering this from the GTD and not the GT3. Because if I remember right, Ford did some weird swap where they're using a GT3 in the GTD classes.
Well, I mean, they're very similar cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just weird that to buy the one for the street is the GTD, I think, rather than the GT. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, GT3 is just race car only.
Right, which is competing with the Grand Touring Daytona cars.
Yeah.
Just weird naming.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'm not flipping these around in my head because they did, you know, mess with me a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go with A.
$325,000,
yeah.
You are 100% correct, sir, right off the bat. Damn it. I don't know. For some reason, my notes is frozen right now, so I'm not going to be able to track this too well. But, yeah, Ford has launched its website for Mustang GTD applications, themustanggtd.com, if you want to go ahead and pre-order yours. Applications is going to be open until May 20th. They are already overwhelmed with applications because there are plenty of people, apparently, in the world with more money than us.
We're a pretty legitimate organization. I feel like there's a lot of organizations that wouldn't just straight up ignore us.
Yeah.
So we may get that priority, including press pass.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, shout out to the Long Beach Grand Prix. Yeah. Dude, they're only making 1,000 of them, which is kind of, I don't know. I mean, I know it's a GT3 car, right?
Yeah.
So I get them making a limited amount, but it just kind of – I kind of wish they would make more because that means that the aftermarket might actually go our way eventually, but not at 1,000.
No, but Ford has always been notorious for that shit. They make so they're. We could probably do like a history episode on just special edition Mustangs because there's so many, man.
Dude, we
there's
could make a
so
whole.
Many.
We could do a whole year.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's insane
on that. Yeah, 100%. But you got one.
All right,
one on the board. Now it's me.
Okay,
that was a gimme though.
It kind of was. It kind of was. All right, so we're keeping the Mustang theme going.
Ah, damn it.
Because you've been apparently looking at Mustang news, so I don't feel bad for this one no
All
more.
All right, yeah, yeah.
All right, so with Mustang again looking to be a solo in the big three pony car class.
Okay.
What new incentive is Ford offering for purchasers of any new Mustang, regardless of trim?
Okay, I don't know. That's okay. A multiple choice me, yeah.
A, nothing. There's no more competition.
Okay.
B, $5,000 rollback on MSRP pricing.
Okay.
C, Mustang driving school at Ford Performance Racing School.
Okay.
D, no incentive, but the price jump went up $5,000 from MSRP.
And you know, it's weird because sometimes that plays into the psychology of people, and the fact that it's gone up might drive people to it. But they're really, really diving into the motorsport side of things too. So I'm going to go with the Ford Performance School.
Of racing.
Of racing, yeah.
So the correct answer is Mustang Driving School.
Yeah!
Or any trim of Mustang.
That's cool, man.
That is super. Oh
well,
my God.
Toyota did this,
uh-huh.
Right, with the 86 and the Supra, with a similar thing with like access to NASA.
To NASA.
Right? But then it turned out that there were automotive issues that led to a lot of drama.
Right. So they've had this.
Oh, okay.
But only for the upper trim. So they had this originally only for the Dark Horse.
Okay.
This is the change where now they're offering it to all Mustangs across the board.
Do you have details on what the, like, is it 3 days? Is it?
It's a 1 day.
It's a 1 day.
It's a 1 day.
Which at Ford Performance is about $4,000, I think. Okay. So it's a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's pretty. Oh, and do you have to use your own car?
That I'm not sure about. Because that's what I'm thinking, because it's kind of far away.
Yeah.
I imagine all the way over there, just like, fly out there and go.
Break-in periods and all that stuff. Yeah.
I'd imagine you probably just fly out there and get to do the school
I
with one of theirs.
I think this is their way of trying to combat their cars ending up on curbs. You know, like this is like, okay, we need to fix our reputation.
I have a different theory about it.
Okay.
I have a different theory about it.
All right.
When Mustang was last solo in this class, right? That was 2004.
Okay.
Right. Terminator Mustang came. Dodge has been gone for years. Camaro made their last stuff in like 2002.
Right.
They had no competition. And those are still regarded as kind of the redheaded stepchilds of cars. The 2005 up until Coyote kind of came back, right?
Right.
Because in all reality, competition breeds a little bit more innovation, right? Yeah. But at the same time, what else does competition do? Excitement, right?
Right.
They get competitors going, it drums up excitement, you elevate these fan bases, you get these cult followings, you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
So if they don't have anybody to compete with, and this is my hope, maybe it's more me wishful thinking, but my hope is that doing something like this is going to start to go, okay, who do they compare to next? And maybe they start comparing them to Supras more, start comparing them more with M cars, start maybe branching out into a different form of competition.
There's a little bit to this, in that now I'm blanking on the CEO's name, Ford CEO.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know? No. I forget his name. I can't get it on the top of my head. But when the Mustang GT3 came out, there were statements made about chasing Porsche.
About chasing, ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, to me, I was like, okay, that's
not smart.
Yeah. It's a lot of lip service. Yeah, the Mustang, there's a lot of heritage there. There's, you know, but it's not Porsche. But that is in line with what you're describing. So maybe they're, you know, maybe they're aiming a little higher than a Supra.
Maybe.
Or I don't know. Like, I don't know that I could compare a Mustang and a Supra. But I think maybe that's just my old school way of thinking.
Yeah.
Because the Mustang is a good handling car now.
Right, right, right. Yeah. And I want to say the, if we take like, you know, the GR and let's say the performance pack, I don't even think you would need the Dark Horse.
Yeah.
I want to say they're not going to be far off on performance or lap times.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So are you thinking they go the way of the Corvette?
You know what? That's always been the argument. Like, you know, from the competition of Mustang Camaro, the comeback has always been, but the Corvette will always dump on the Mustang.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, yeah, maybe they are going, all right, well, let's go pick on the Corvette now.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, and I could see that. I mean, the Corvette is chasing supercars, right?
Yeah.
But it's not – I don't think it's there necessarily, although it's closer than probably anything else.
Yeah.
But it would make sense for the Mustang to start reaching, sort of nipping at the Corvette's heels.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, there were rumors about a mid-engine Mustang for a little while. I don't know if that was, you know, Ford at all stating any of those things. But if they went that route, right, or if those rumors were true at any point of the, like, design phase, it might indicate that they're going to the Corvette side of things. Porsche, though, I don't know. I don't know if I'm putting Porsche on a pedestal, but you're a little far off.
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like that's pretty far. That's why in my mind I was thinking it's chasing Supras, it's chasing M3s, it's chasing, you know what I mean? Could get closer to.
An M3, I don't know. I put a Mustang above a Supra. And I'm okay. Like the current generation.
Hot take.
You think so?
I think so. I mean, again, this is maybe coming from the way I always see things. I always see, like, the general of our car culture doesn't look at the Mustang very highly like that. You know what I mean? They're always going to put the Supra before it, for sure.
I mean, if you're talking, like...
aesthetics, for sure.
Motorsport? Like, track life, even grassroots?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would say the... I guess you're right. The Supra would get a lot more love.
Yeah.
As a ready-to-go tool than maybe a Mustang would. But I think the Mustang is really just shaking off a lot of history.
Yeah.
Because I think the performance is actually there.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. And I'm not sure the exact year, but there was a year of M4 they were comparing to the S550 Coyote.
Oh, I remember that.
And they were very fucking close.
Yeah.
They were very, very fucking close.
In some
close.
Categories, the Mustang won.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was kind of like, in what world has a Mustang ever been compared to an M car?
Yeah. Right?
Especially being non-Shelby and just a GT.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. Like, I think as a community, we might still be holding on to a lot of the, like, sort of early generations, early 2000, like 2010 prior,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, 2010 prior,
yeah,
for
and
sure.
Generation of cars where they wouldn't perform.
Yeah.
But now it's a completely different game. Completely there. All right, so we're now one for one. On to the next question. 8 cars were stolen worth $1.2 million in Arab, Alabama.
Okay.
Which I thought was weird for a city in Alabama.
All right.
Arab, Alabama. What did the thieves use to steal the cars?
All right. Multiple choice me.
Multiple choice. A portable key copier, a Bluetooth repeater and coat hanger, a Flipper Pro, or a rock and a laptop?
I love the idea of a rock and a laptop.
Yeah. I mean, I love all the, like, basic tools, like the coat hanger, too.
Yeah.
Like, the idea of getting away with $1.2 million with a rock, with a coat hanger, with... do they sell Slim Jims now? Anymore? Are those illegal? I think they're illegal, right?
Are they? I think I still have one in my garage.
Like an actual Slim Jim?
Yeah.
Not the eating ones?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, yeah. Like, I have an actual Slim Jim, yeah.
Wow, okay. Now I know what you're doing in your off time. Yep.
Let's see. You know, I have honestly no idea. So, I want to see a rock and a laptop steal some high dollar cars.
Man, you have like this like crazy weird like instinct for multiple choice questions. did you get a 1600 on your SAT just off of being able to guess the right answer?
Well, I had him on a pencil and I rolled the pencil.
You did do that, huh? The answer is a rock and a laptop. That's right. A rock and a laptop. 8 cars were stolen from a North County Ford dealership in Alabama. Including a Challenger SRT Demon that's worth $158,000. Only 2 cars have been recovered, a Jeep Wagoneer and a Ford Raptor. But they used a rock to break through the service bay of the main building, and then they hacked an open key safe with a laptop to get access to all the keys.
Oh, shit.
Honestly, it sounds like an insider job to me a little bit.
Yeah, because, I mean, how would you know where they leave the keys to know the right...
Yeah.
To have the confidence go, oh, yeah, this is the kind of lock safe they use?
Yeah.
I know how to hack that.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the only physical evidence was the broken window they used to get in. So they didn't smash anything else or, you know, to kind of... like ransack the place to find out where these keys would actually be. They knew where they were. But they stole 330 keys... and stole $1.2 million worth of cars. It's crazy to hear that these heists are still happening.
330 keys.
Yeah.
So potentially they can go back and finish.
Yep. Yep. Finish the job. Finish the job. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that's crazy because 8 cars, so they had to have at least 8 people, right? This is a big ring. All right. Well, you got that one right. Now you are 2 for 2.
All right.
On to the next question.
Okay, so with EV sales softening, Dodge is walking back their plans for the EV-only Charger. What options are they going with to save their sales?
Okay, no idea.
No idea.
Yeah.
All right. A V6 twin turbo. B, a Hemi SRT V8. C, hybrid V6. D, postpone the EV variants completely, offering their current petrol engine lineups.
This is Dodge.
This is Dodge.
Man, I want to say I read some news about the V6 twin turbo. I want to say that was an option, but it could just be some research they were doing. What was the last one?
Postponing the EV variants and offering their current petrol engine lineup.
Okay. That seems like the basic move to go with. Can you read the question again?
With EV sales softening, Dodge is walking back its plans for EV-only chargers. What options are they going with to save the sales?
Man, to save sales in general...
Well,
right, not
to make sure they're selling the cars, basically.
Right, right. Just cars in general, not just EVs. Because if they were to save the EV sales, the last option would make sense for them to just pull back on the EV Challenger. Then there's the V6 twin turbo makes sense because of emissions. That's sort of the direction that they're going in. The last 8-cylinder, I think Ford might be the one that was taking that title. V6 twin turbo, final answer.
Final answer.
Final answer.
Okay. The correct answer is V6 twin turbo.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a surprising move for Dodge considering their history, but they put the twin turbo in there because they're Dodge. You know,
yeah, it was a motor that they already had from a different car. Anyways,
what do you think of that? Like the V6 twin turbo versus
they're not
the V8?
Selling any fucking EVs.
Dodge isn't.
No. No.
Yeah, that's not.
I think
not
this
their
is
game.
Gonna this. Well, no, but it's supposed to be the V6 twin turbo is supposed to be their base. And essentially,
right.
And then the EV variants are going to be the variants after.
So they're going to get rid of the V6 NA.
Yes.
Okay, got
they
it.
They are not selling any of those EVs.
No, no.
I think it's so long as there is a petrol option available for a charger,
yeah,
I don't see anybody opting for the EV.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's such a weird... I feel like it's such a... Like, the demographic that would be into a Challenger that's also electric is very small. Like, those are opposing forces.
Yeah.
Right? Most Challenger... I'm very speaking very generally here, but I would say most Challenger owners do want the ICE experience.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what they're also losing? Rear-wheel drive.
What?
All of them will be all-wheel drive now.
Oh, they're going to tell me they're making front-wheel drive like Challenger. I was like, what? Okay. That is tricky, too. Yeah, because those are swinger cars, right?
Yeah. Supposedly they have a donut mode and stuff, so I'm sure with technology they'll be able to.
But it's also like the drift mode in the Ford Focus RS wasn't all that great too. It's just not the same, having no power through the front wheels and just having to do steering. That's interesting. You're not a Dodge guy at all.
No.
Would you drive a V6 twin turbo Mustang over a V8? If the V8 was an option at the time?
No.
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 But if it's not an option and the only option is an EV Mustang, you're going V6 twin turbo every day.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I mean, arguably, how much power are they going to give the EV? Right now, the only variant for EV that's going to be like 500 or 600 horsepower.
That's kind of like low for EV.
Right. And they're doing the V6 twin turbo, which is going to be like high 400s, or you get the V6 twin turbo pro or something like that, and it's going to be like 500.
Which probably could be easily tunable to like 6, 7.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly it. Is that you're not far off from making the EV power. What is going to draw you to the EV?
Without the EV consequence.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I'm just happy I got that one.
Yeah.
So on to the last question for you. See if you can sweep this one. CHP took down a theft ring that stole $300,000 worth of this toy in Southern California. Legos. RC cars. Hot Wheels. Or game consoles.
Dang. Sucks, because when you started describing that, I was thinking you were talking about the theft ring that they found from stealing the Camaros and Corvettes.
Oh, no.
So I was like, oh, I got this one.
Yeah, because you asked a question around that a little while back.
Did I?
Yeah.
Well, I know about them being stolen in record numbers.
Yeah.
But they caught a
ring. Oh, they caught the ring.
They caught a ring of them with like fucking, I think it was like $600,000 worth of stuff.
Damn, I moved too fast on the multiple choice, I think.
So, okay. All right, so what are the options again?
Legos. RC cars. Hot Wheels. Game consoles.
Damn. I get lucky with it, but I hate that it always seems like a shot in the dark. Yeah.
I want to know stuff.
Especially because my third one, I feel, is going to be a gimme for you, but I had to make a question for
you. Every time, you say that every time, and it never is.
I really hope it's not now, but I'm going to shoot my shot with Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels.
Yes.
The correct answer is Legos.
Dang.
Lego. So you got that one wrong. Yeah, they were busted for stealing $300,000 worth of Legos from like Targets and things like that. A lot of Speed Champions included in that. Four people were arrested in the ring. I didn't know it was that lucrative.
That's
but
wild.
Apparently they sell it to fences, right, that then resell this like on the streets or whatever. Their names are Jeremy Johnson, Marta Hart, I'm going to butcher this, Chung Pei Yu and Shen Li. So okay. It's a half Chinese, half American team that were in charge of stealing on this. I didn't know CHP made these kind of arrests.
I mean, was it their investigation or did they just pull them over? You know, once they hit the highways, right?
It's a bust was made as part of CHP officers part of a retail crime task force combating a surge in thefts from stores.
Okay. Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah. So, like, I know that, you know, for a little while, we don't see it in the news anymore, but for a little while, there was a lot of, like, people, like, rushing stores to steal stuff, like retail stores.
Yeah.
And, like, everyone's complaining no one's doing anything about it. But I guess LAPD didn't want to be part of it, so CHP is taking over as part of getting out of these. But it's wild.
The more CHP is handling stuff like this and leaving modified cars alone,
yeah,
I'm all right with that.
Yeah. They're not doing that. That task force is permanent.
Let me live in my ignorance, please.
All right. Going on to the last question. My chance to steal this game. Dang. What's the gimme question?
All right. Well, it's F1 related, so okay. I figured you got it.
Oh, shit. I'm not caught up with F1 for this weekend.
Okay. COTA is offering buybacks of early bird ticket sold for the F1 US Grand Prix. How much on top are they giving to buy those tickets back?
Oh my God. I saw this headline and just
told you it's a gimme.
I glanced past it. I couldn't tell. I'm multiple choicing this one.
Okay. A, $200. B, $100. C, $50. Or D, $25.
Oh, my God. And this is the hard part, too, because in my head, the first number that popped up, 500. And it's not even.
Shit.
And it's not even an option.
That'd
be
nice.
Oh, man. So they're trying to buy back the tickets, the pre-sale tickets, which means they're going to resell them. But there's high demand. I wouldn't put a $200 margin outside of the realm of reality, especially for COTA. The popularity of racing, as we'll probably get into.
Maybe this will, unfortunately, this might jog your memory a little bit, but do you remember the reason?
No.
No.
Was the reason in the question?
No.
Okay, then you don't have to say it.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's just interesting. That was the whole reason why.
Oh, we can go into it after I answer. Yeah. But yeah, I saw this and I just didn't read into it, and I should have. 25 just doesn't seem significant enough. 50 wouldn't get me to give that up. 100 though starts looking a little more appealing, but 200 just makes more sense to me. So I'm going to go 100 or 200. I need.
You want my coin flip app?
I'm just flipping this. All right. 200 final answer.
200 final answer.
Yeah, yeah.
The correct answer is $50.
Really? Yeah. That's so whack. That is so whack. Oh, another tie. What I do, at least I don't lose a spot.
Yep.
But $50?
Yep.
Would you give up your ticket for $50?
No.
That's ridiculous.
It's such a money grab, dude. So
yeah.
If I guess since you didn't remember, the reason behind it was so I guess a couple years ago they locked in Taylor Swift.
Okay.
And that was supposedly like the biggest fucking influx they had because she was performing there. Right. So I guess right now they're finishing their booking for their musical talent, their performance.
Right.
So COTA saw, I guess, and this is what's weird, is that they haven't mentioned who they're booking or who the performance lineup is.
It's the Coachella method.
So they're like, wow, like we're going to have such great entertainment. We should try to buy back these tickets and resell them.
Yeah.
So they're thinking the show is going to be so big and so people are going to want to go so bad.
I'm not convinced they're going to think it's that big.
It's a money grab, dude.
Yeah.
And apparently, like, even in the article, they had been to mention it that people were just roasting them on the Instagram page, which I've been meaning to go back and look at.
No, now I want to look at it too, because doesn't it $50? $50 does not tell me you're confident in the entertainment lineup that you're going to bring to COTA.
Yeah, and some of the quotes from the owner of COTA, it's like, it's a money grab, bro. It's a money
really?
Grab.
What did he say?
So here's a quote I wrote down for this. It's not about buying back your ticket and making profit on it at all.
Okay. Okay.
it's about just demonstrating the value in what we see in our tickets and that we appreciate those buyers, what those buyers saw.
What? Oh my God, dude. This guy, they need a better PR team.
Yeah.
That is insane.
So early bird tickets were $299. He's offering $350 for them.
Wow. That's so whack.
Yeah.
Why? And I'm, okay, the only thing I could think of in my head is they were like, okay, there's some people who bought early who are probably thinking that they're not going, maybe might go, maybe might not go, and this would push them over the edge to then sell their tickets for $350. Because I could only imagine if I were thinking that I wasn't going to go for, you know, maybe a 50, 60% chance that I wasn't going to be able to go, that's the only way I would give up my ticket for $350.
See, I wouldn't, though. Just because, okay, for $50, if I bought it that early and it's $50, and then now that I see this,
yeah,
well, I'd be holding on to it going, okay, who's performing and how much can I make out of scalping my ticket?
That's true, but there is a chance that their performers are a joke this year, and the reason why they're doing this is to generate hype because they're not going to bring...
I gamble $50 to potentially make $300 more.
How do you know 300 more would be your...
Because I guarantee you they're going to resell those tickets at like $600.
We got to check into that because I don't think it would be that much.
You don't think so?
Yeah, because I think if the margins were in the 300s, they would be comfortable with a 100. Because a 100 is much more appetizing and would give them way more tickets to buy back.
I'm wondering if he just got... He paid for tickets for his daughter to go see Taylor Swift. For $400.
And he's like, well, we should be doing this.
Yeah. He's like, my God, we're giving a concert and a race.
What's funny is that
for $600.
What's funny is that you're probably right, and a lot of times it does come to a stupid decision like that.
Yeah. It's a personal thing that just happened to him. They're like, why are we doing this? We could be making so much more money.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't see a lot of people taking this.
I don't think they'll ever
release numbers that show us what, you know, how many they actually bought back. Well, but I'd be curious.
We just got to see what the rest of them are for sale at right now.
What are they for sale at?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't look. Bad research.
I'm curious now. I want to look into this. See, yeah, that's such a weird move. Like, why not just raise ticket prices for whatever's already available. This buyback scheme, I think there's something we're not catching because you could very easily raise prices. There are concessions, beers, tickets, merch, right? There's so many different places to make up that money that the pre-sales, maybe you're right then. Maybe it is a large margin and they're just being greedy about the $50 that they're giving.
Yeah.
Which that wouldn't surprise me.
Well, because they haven't said who the performers are.
Yeah.
So you can sucker somebody into taking $50 knowing that once the performers' names are released, those tickets are probably worth double.
But that's the thing. The indication that they're giving is that the performers are good, right? That's what they're trying to allude to, right? It's sort of this is what I mean by the Coachella method.
Yeah.
Where Coachella started selling tickets before releasing
their
lineups.
Yeah.
And that drove people crazy. Like, who's going to show up? Who's going to be there?
Yeah.
Right?
But Coachella is a musical festival. So it's like they always have a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is going to be different. But, you know, since the experience, the Taylor Swift bump, I wonder who they're going to... Oh, my God. You know what would suck? If they did all this and they get Will.i.am to perform. And he performs
during the race. He just makes the sound effects during the race.
Oh, man. Oh, that's interesting. I mean, they got F1 is still establishing itself in the U.S. So they got to come right.
Yeah.
They got to bring the right people. But I'm curious how this is going to pan out.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
the statement by, you know, the...
Oh, the quote got me. I was like,
dude, that's horrible, man. You could, it would have been much better just not say anything.
We're going to have to do a segment on automotive CEO quotes.
Oh, for sure.
You remember the Rolls Royce one I did a while ago, right?
There's a lot of out of... You know, most CEOs, much like most rich people, are a bit out of touch from like the regular...
Have you heard the quote from the 91 Octane CEO?
I have it. I hope to never hear it. Oh, man. But anyway, that All is right. our head-to-head. We tied. You're still winning by two games, so I have to continue to chase. But let's get into our next segment, which is we got back from a weekend of the Long Beach Grand Prix. Yeah.
From a day.
Right. Well, we just finished it on TV. But let's start with sort of the history of us attending the event, right? You've gone how many years in the past?
4 to 5.
Yeah.
4 to 5.
How many of those years have you been an IndyCar fan?
Honestly, I was always there more for the IMSA and the GT cars, GT America, more than the IndyCars, to be honest.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
So Saturday was always the big day for me.
Oh, that's actually better. That's actually better in a lot of ways, especially now.
Yeah, I was going to say it seems more prevalent now, but that was kind of more or less where I kind of found myself. Indy was been more within the last year or two. I've kind of been more casual about it, similar to like F1.
Yeah. And like Long Beach Grand Prix is our backyard. I mean, for me, it was for most of my life, it was a 15-minute drive. Now it's a 45 to an hour drive from where I am now. Definitely always attended, but it was always one of those things like you went to. For me, I saw the Indy race, I saw Indy qualifying, and then I would leave. Right, okay. I wasn't really there for the whole event for the most part. But it was always very accessible in that it was relatively empty for the most part.
Yeah.
Like attendance was sparse.
Yeah.
Right, you could always find seating. You didn't have to buy reserved seating for the most part. It was easy to get anywhere. You know, that restaurants weren't too packed. It was comfortable most of the time, even on Sundays. Now, our experience seemed completely different.
It was packed.
It was packed. I mean, we had to park probably a mile away from the track using their parking lots and take a shuttle to the actual track and then walk into the track and get and put our bags through this weird van that we assumed was probably it was a van. It had a curtain that we couldn't see behind. You couldn't see any semblance of a machine.
So the rollers, maybe
the rollers was it, right? Yeah. But like the scanning, like machine, we couldn't really tell.
They didn't have the monitor to show what you were X-rating.
So Tony stated that it's probably just some guy back there.
Yeah,
and I imagined in my head the same thing, like just shaking the bags, just you know, like okay, these are good. Send because it was quick.
Taxing my fucking bag of chips really quick and sticking it back out.
Yeah, man. But it was packed. Even on the shuttle in the parking lot, a lot of people were saying, well, there was a group of people saying, hey, you know, this Saturday feels like a Sunday.
Yeah.
It's super packed. And it could be the Netflix effect or the 100 Days to Indy effect. That's a little more popular. Maybe Formula One has gotten so much more popular that it's also given an IndyCar bump as well. Maybe we're past the COVID stuff also. I don't know.
Maybe.
You know, maybe that's the thing. People are actually starting to go out again. But I've never, ever, ever seen it this packed.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it's been a lot longer since I've been to one. But, I've never seen it this packed. It was definitely on the border of, like, all right, I'm getting a little uncomfortable just being
claustrophobic. And it was before we planned to sort of attend the things that we wanted to see. I wanted to see IndyCar qualifying. Usually, as long as I get there 15 minutes before qualifying starts, I had button seats ready to watch.
Yeah.
This time it took us an hour from parking to getting to the actual track, and we missed qualifying altogether.
Yep.
But we did see some other races. Every time we found somewhere to sit, we were packed. At one point, yeah, the dude almost sat on your Pringles.
There was about to be some fucking throwing some hands, man.
Yeah, he's gonna have some habanero up there, dude. That would have killed him. So I had to move those out of the way. But we watched the GT America race.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I don't know if this is a hot take or not. I don't know if people would agree with me. I imagine they probably wouldn't. But the one thing I always forget when I go to the Long Beach Grand Prix, and it reminds me, is that racing is much better on TV. Unless you have a specific car that you're a fan of.
Right.
It's really the only way to follow
everything
what's going on,
right?
Because you're watching the race through one corner. Yeah, there are TVs and audio getting piped in, but it's not loud enough to overcome the crowd. So you can't really hear a lot of it. The time splits, I'm not really making sense too much of them. You know, you're watching one car to see if it's behind, if they're making up places. You don't really see that. Whereas on TV, everything is broken down for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You may actually enjoy some NASCAR races then.
What do you mean?
So,
I do enjoy NASCAR races.
The Coliseum.
Okay.
So the Coliseum, from where you sit, anywhere you sit, you can see the entire track.
Yeah.
Their you know, Jumbotron or whatever monitor has the full rankings and time splits going on there on display.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to follow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Way, way easier to follow than Long Beach, where we are sitting at a corner and the TV's 100 feet that way.
But the hard part with that is that I don't really enjoy oval racing too much as a spectator sport.
Yeah.
I do enjoy road racing. So my favorite NASCAR races are when they go to Sonoma, mm-hmm, you know, when they go to Laguna, like those road racing tracks, and then it's just better on TV, right? Like,
yeah.
And I jokingly said after the GT America race yesterday, dude, we should just tomorrow, let's just watch the race on TV, and then we'll record the podcast as soon as it's done.
Yeah.
At least I'll be able to follow what's going on, you know, who won, all that. As a joke, and then after thinking about it a little while, because you took it seriously initially.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned it, and I was like, nah, I'm just joking, dude. I was just messing around. But then when you mentioned that, I started thinking about it again. And I'm like, it just makes more sense. It's more enjoyable for me. I don't know if that's the case for everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know the type. I want to know if you're the type of person who enjoys going to the races and staying at one corner and watching that, let me know. What am I missing? What am I doing wrong? But like for you, right, even you were a bit lost in a certain part with the multi-classing in GT America, right?
Yeah, 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 because they had two classes running at the same
time.
Yeah,
but you also enjoy being in there in person and watching them.
Yeah, but so like if you take it more from me, I'm a fan more of the series itself rather than who even won.
Okay.
Right?
So you just want to see cars zooming.
I just want to see cars zooming. That's why I like the IMSA and the GT America, because it's not, and this goes back to what we've discussed before, right? Where I'm like, every time I see Indy cars or F1 cars, obviously those are race prepped race cars. These are not road cars converted in a sense, right?
Right.
So
right.
I enjoy seeing the Porsche going out there with the R8 battling out with the Corvette and the different cars and different motors competing against each other.
Got it.
So even
okay.
though I might not be necessarily invested in like, okay, who's front running right now and who's racing, you know, for first place. Like for me, it's just more seeing like, cause you can kind of tell which ones are, you know, SROs versus the GTs. Like you can see the wing difference in them pretty dramatically, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's interesting to see those different cars pass even through each other, even when the multi-classes do run into each other.
Yeah, yeah. No, it was I was trying to keep, and for me it's a different perspective. I'm not really there for the cars like that.
Yeah.
I'm there more so for the numbers, the competition,
yeah,
right? Who's getting
yeah.
close, who's not, who's fighting, who's not. Where's the passing happening? Where are accidents imminent, right? Where,
yeah, yeah.
you know, where you're kind of getting the sense of that. The onboards, you know,
yeah,
those
yeah.
are nice to see too. So it was, it was, I always forget that I miss a lot of that, you know, when I'm out there, but you know, it was fun. It's always fun to go to the Long Beach Grand Prix. I mean, especially when we met up with Greg, shout out to Greg from Join Fan Amp. That was cool to kick it with him for a little while. We got into the paddock, saw Pato in the paddock, doing his YouTube social media thing. You got yourself a hat, which you're wearing now.
Yeah.
He didn't do too well in the race.
No. No.
For whatever reason, he didn't. He wasn't even like in the conversation. Unfortunately, Scott Dixon did win the race with Huerta, who I actually follow, getting second. So I was happy for me. What did you think, being sort of on the outside in? I would still consider myself a casual IndyCar fan.
Right.
What did you think of the race today?
It was good. Like it is easier to watch and follow on TV for sure.
Yeah.
So like, I feel like if we were watching it more and more, I could see see myself getting a little more into it. Same thing with F1, right?
Yeah.
But I guess there is still for me the experience of going out to the track. I do still like.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to do that for
it
sure.
It is. Yeah.
It's fun to do that for sure, and I would say. Like, I'm becoming more and more convinced that I would enjoy going to see practice and qualifying and then watch the race at a bar with the homies.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Like, I feel like I would enjoy doing that. Because then the qualifying and practice part gives you the zooming on track things of the cars. But the race, I want to know the competition, right? I want to know when the pit stops are happening, when all that stuff is happening.
Yeah.
Now, you know, going, would you put... F1, where would you put F1 in comparison to IndyCar in terms of drawing your personal attention?
See, that's not fair.
Okay.
Because IndyCar is more accessible. So I've gotten to be there in person. And like we just kind of discussed, I like being there and seeing it. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
So
because it's more accessible, you would go IndyCar?
Yeah, honestly. If we were saying, all right, you know what? We're going to dive in and kind of start getting more involved in like the competition, following them throughout the season more so than when they're just in our backyard.
Yeah.
I think because IndyCar is more accessible, I think I would lean that direction.
IndyCar. And you have a connection to, I mean, there's a Mexican driver in each of the series.
Yeah.
But you seem to be more of a Pato fan. You don't have a Checo hat, do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah, you have a Pato hat now.
That's true. I don't know if that's a super factor, but I think most, again, maybe because IndyCars are more in the realm where I'm already watching IMSA races and stuff, you know?
Right. So
they're kind of like...
It's convenient.
It's convenient. It's a little easier to just go, I just got to take one step over and I'm there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So you would still put IMSA in terms of strictly just the attention that it garners from you, not in terms of skill or driving, any of that.
Yeah.
You would put IMSA above IndyCar.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now,
different road cars, and that the fact that they're very distinctly different cars and motors.
So let me say this: we go to Long Beach, right? For some weird reason, they say, "Hey, Tony, you can pick one car to drive from Long Beach this year out of all the cars that we saw there, right?" Are you taking an Indy car or a specific IMSA car?
I'm taking the GT3.
Really? Really?
I'm taking that Mustang GT3. Yep.
Really? Wow. That it's just okay. It's probably equally as unlikely that both an Indy car and a Mustang GT3 would happen to one of us.
Yeah.
But I just feel like an Indy car is just a little more out of our reach.
It is, but I feel that I would be much less likely to crash and die. I feel like I'd be able to handle.
No, you're jumping into a Mustang, so.
Look at all you. You're stuck on those old. You're stuck on those old biases, right? Remember. I've never seen anybody take a drink of an empty beer.
No, that was, I still had, look, it's still rolling down there. I just needed to wet the palate. Okay, so that means if, I was going to ask you two questions. the highlight car of your weekend.
Uh-huh.
Is the Mustang GT3 then? Is that
We missed it, but yeah, that's the one I was wanted to see.
That's the one that
we ended up missing it. Yeah.
Out of the cars that you saw, which one is the one that you least enjoyed?
That I least enjoyed.
Yeah.
It would have to be the red Porsche with the Trump on the side.
So there was a Trump Porsche.
GMG, I believe the was
GMG.
The GMG was the company. They have like three cars in that series. It was for GT America.
A lot of the discussions, you know, we had around that was, we hope he's getting paid for that. And then you found out that he's,
no, I don't think so.
He's not getting paid for that.
No.
The fanaticism.
I mean, for me, it's just like, especially the way things have been for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Can we not have a place without that shit?
Yeah.
Like, let me enjoy my fucking cars,
but
man.
Even going into, like, on our trip to Long Beach yesterday, we had conversations about how right-leaning the automotive world is, especially track world. For us.
Yeah. I mean, right. Any fun hobby. any fun hobby, man.
Yeah. Well, I wish the hobbies that we dabble in. Yeah. I don't know about the sim world, but definitely at the track, you know, I've seen guys, you know, with the Trump hats, you know, make America great again.
Yeah.
Very. You can always see who the Trumpers are, but you can never see who the others are.
Yeah.
Right? You never see like a Biden
normal
car.
People.
Right, yeah.
Normal.
Just normal people, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's the thing for me. It's like, okay, there's... You ever heard of the place when you're a kid?
Yeah.
And you're, like, going a little too wild, and your parents like, hey, time and a place for everything, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, this is that.
Like, come on, like,
okay,
there is
so,
a time and a place. Let everybody enjoy their shit. Like,
your price,
there's more to life to them.
Yes, but your price for eyelashes is $17,000 a year. What's your price for a Trump 24 sticker?
Dang.
Yeah.
How much to sell out, like,
yeah,
all of my annoyances.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, on the Cobra.
On
same thing.
On your Long Beach race car.
On my Long Beach race car.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, like in the shoes, like I was a
Yeah, you're racing. Like yesterday's race, you were gonna participate in that. Your car's going to be a part of that. The Trump team shows up to you and says...
Okay, in that scenario, it's a little easier to answer.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, because in that scenario, it's a no. There is no price because I probably wouldn't be competing if I was hurting for money that bad. There's other fucking... King Taco could sponsor my fucking car.
Good,
you know what
point.
I mean?
That's a
like,
good point.
It is not hard to find
That's
a sponsor.
That's a good point. You sort of loopholed the question, but...
Bam!
But, I mean, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. It wouldn't be hard to, so it's very easy to say no.
Yeah, but you're creating the scenario that you... potentially would have other sponsors. So you're saying you would rather just not race in Long Beach because let's assume that you don't get any other sponsors.
I just find it hard to believe, especially
really,
with how
why?
Many sponsors there are for those events and on the cars and on the sides and on everywhere.
But we don't know where that car finished, huh? Because it was so confusing.
No, I don't remember where it finished.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It wasn't in the front.
Because back of the pack doesn't really, there's not going to be a lot of sponsors.
I heard he lost and he said the race was rigged.
He declared himself a winner anyway, yeah. He won the Indy race in a Porsche, yeah.
He wasn't front pack.
Yeah.
He wasn't front pack for sure. But just for the amount of stuff there, like, nobody there was hurting for sponsors. I really don't think so.
I don't know. It doesn't seem that way, but
mm-mm.
I know the front of the pack is different than sort of the back.
Yeah.
But this time we switched from, and I know like for those of you looking for like strictly racing related commentary in the Long Beach Grand Prix, this might not be the podcast for you. But, you know, if you're interested in what the Long Beach Grand Prix has to offer outside of that with a little sprinkle of cars, that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, sprinkle
of cars, right? We're getting into that stuff. I mean, I told you who won. That's more than enough. but they moved from Tecate to Modelo.
Yeah.
And you were very happy about that move.
I was so happy about that.
Yeah. Tecate, also for me, was never the greatest tasting beer, but very much a part of my family for a very long time.
I want to say, and again, I don't know the numbers, right? But let's say I had 10 Tecates ever in my life.
Yeah.
8 of them had to be from the Grand Prix.
Oh, wow. So
the other
really
two
only
was just randomly given to me at a party, and I was like, well, I guess I'll drink an open beer.
Only because they were sponsored. Yeah. Damn. But they had Modelo this time.
Yep.
You were a fan of the Cheladas. ¿Modelo Especial or Modelo Negra?
Especial.
Especial. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm Negra.
You're Negra.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Although I didn't really drink it. It tends to be heavier.
That's why I go especially. Yeah.
I felt like yesterday, so like we were drinking, Yard House made us chug our beers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And when I sat down to eat, I was like, oh, I'm feeling a little buzz. All right, cool. It happened.
Yeah.
We ate. I felt none of the beers after that. Were you buzzing at all?
I think I buzzed a little bit. After the restaurant, maybe a little bit.
Okay.
I think I had a darker beer, though, too. I think I had an amber lager.
Oh, you switched up.
I switched up. Yeah. I did do an
amber
lager.
Oh, that's right.
At
Yard House.
Yeah, at Yard House.
At Yard House.
But
you also peed like 80 times.
I did.
You're like, I'm going to break the seal. My bad, guys.
Yeah.
And then you just kept going.
I don't know what happened. It's just... It's efficiency at
it's
that
efficiency,
point.
It's efficiency. Yeah. And I was like, man, and then we said maybe it's the heat. But yeah, it was hard. It was hard to keep the buzz going. We were also, although we didn't walk a lot, it was enough. Yeah.
We're moving.
The sun to like work all that off. But yeah, man, it's, I think for me, Long Beach is a, not just Long Beach, but all Grand Prix are a one-day thing for me.
A one-day?
Yeah. Like, I'll go, like I said, to practice or qualifying, and then I want to see the race in person.
Got it.
Yeah. And then for you, where do you land?
Again, because I'm there for the cars.
Yeah.
Let's say the Grand Prix, for instance. That could work for us going because you could see the qualifying.
Yeah.
I'll see my IMSA and road cars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because that was the race day for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could see this qualifying. And then, you know, next year, if we do that same thing, we would just end up back here to watch the actual Indy race.
That's exactly what I would want to do. Like, I would much rather watch. And I don't know. Like, let us know in the comments. Like, are you the type that enjoys the races in person, or do you enjoy watching the races on TV instead? Because I don't know.
Could even be track specific.
It could be track specific. I don't know. Although there isn't a track that you rarely have like an eagle-eyed view. Or maybe from the rooftop at the Long Beach. They have that option at the Hyatt.
The hotel.
Yeah. So maybe that's what I need to do. Watch the race from up there. Have it be a little better. Maybe with some the Google Glass. Maybe if they get technology enough, they can like point out numbers on all the cars on the track, watching it from up there.
I'm
going
to get you those little stick with the binoculars. Like
a little monocle, Monopoly Man monocle. Yeah, see? All right, racing.
Yeah, I don't want to watch it down there with the poor.
I don't know. And that's a whole other thing, too. A lot of sporting events for me going in person is about the crowd and feeling the crowd and feeling that energy versus watching the game necessarily, like Dodger games, for example, or
right.
Like that. NBA games, I much prefer to go to playoff games because the energy is different in those stadiums. Whereas with racing, everyone is so dispersed, there's really no cohesive, collective energy like that being created.
Not unless you go with people.
Right? If you took like a group of 10 people?
If you took a group of 10 people, we were all there to see more or less the same races, right?
Yeah.
Then you can kind of have your own little vibe and your own real thing for the race, right? Versus us, we kind of just like found a spot to sit and got surrounded by some people who were there to take a break, some people who were there to watch the race, some people who didn't know what the hell was going on. And
although I do agree that it would make it more fun, right? The more the merrier, right?
Yeah.
It's a cliche. It's still a different energy from what I'm describing.
Okay.
Right? The thunder of, like, feeling people through the floor. Right? Like, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Like, the roar of a crowd.
Right.
Yeah.
And you get that with the Lakers and the Dodgers because it's one team versus one team.
And one little field.
Yeah.
Right? Like
versus
that.
Two classes, 20,
yeah.
20 racers.
3 miles of track.
Yeah,
you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
could
absolutely.
Be rooting for a different class, a different person in each class, all in the same stadium area.
Yeah. So call it what you will. I don't know. I'm curious to see if anyone feels the way that I do or if I'm alone on this. But, yeah, I mean, racing is just one of those things I like to do. I definitely enjoy watching,
yeah.
But on TV. Maybe I've
okay.
just been spoiled.
So with this mindset now, and we discussed this the last episode, right, I think, where's your price point for an F1 race now?
Much lower.
Much lower.
Much
it went
lower.
Down now.
Much
so it went
lower.
Down now.
Yeah, great question because Because
you were talking about there was a part of you that would spend like $1,500.
There was. And now that – and I forget this every time before the Acura Grand Prix, but the part that gets me the most was not so much that I don't enjoy going to the race. It's the fact that I could pay $120 – and go see all 3 days of events at the Long Beach Grand Prix.
Yeah, yeah, that's
you
a
know,
lot.
They have you know a viewing area. You know, they have a what is it, a convention area with a bunch of booths,
yep.
and things to look at, historical cars. There are you know 6-7 different disciplines
and,
going on,
and we didn't even get to look at everything.
No, at the same, you've got restaurants all over. The beer is a little expensive, but that's going to be the case anywhere for $120.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you're not – even at $1,500, you're not going to be getting that experience in Formula One. We paid $30 for paddock access.
Yep.
F1 wouldn't give you that unless you were Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Right? You know? And it's the level of access that you get with IndyCar – it spoiled me a little bit in that sense where I was like, am I looking at the wrong series? We're very much, you know, into the amateur side of things, the grassroots side of things, the
right.
budget side of things, right? Even though, you know, at this point in our lives, we've kind of dug out of, you know, the pinching penny side of the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
We still want to advocate for that. And so the IndyCar series gives you a lot of the similar racing, right? Similar competition and fun dynamic to watch
yeah.
that Formula One provides at a much lower price point.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. So if I had to vote right now on a series to follow, and that's the only series I would follow, I would stay IndyCar and give up Formula One. And that has nothing to do with the whole Verstappen winning anything thing, you know? It's much more the level of access. Now, you could argue that as IndyCar becomes more popular, a lot of these things are going to go away. A lot of these things are going to get more expensive. You know, fine, but in the current climate of the economy, right, the economy's booming. But as a result of the boom, prices have gone up too, right? And so to hear that, you know, I'm paying $40 a day to go watch, you know, IndyCars, IMSA cars, Formula Drift, exotic cars, if you want, if that's your flavor.
The trophy trucks,
which are dope to see. It's always nice to see them airborne, fence high. How do you beat it?
Yeah.
How do you beat that, dude? You cannot beat that. And we didn't get to participate, but through Greg, we learned that on Friday, you can get access to the drivers. You can get access to a lot of the what you would consider unobtainable interviews in a Formula One paddock.
Oh, yeah. No, you ain't getting near them.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Ain't getting near them. No way.
Yeah, so it definitely feels more of the people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a long way to answer your question. And, yeah, my price is $120.
$120?
That's my price.
Okay, all right.
Know?
Yeah, yeah.
I know some races are going to be more expensive than others, but at this point, and we even discussed it on the way out, we were like, dude, like, we have IndyCar is in the U.S. It's exciting. We can go to multiple races and not leave the country.
Yeah, I was going to say we can attend more than just the race in our backyard without it being a detriment financially. You know what I mean? Like going like, oh man, we just sorry family. No vacation, you know, this year we had to go see an IndyCar race, you know? Like
yeah, man.
No, we could if we wanted to go do other IndyCar races, we actually could.
Yeah. So call it cheap, call it frugal, call it smart, call us geniuses. But we'll sign off on this. If you want an obtainable, reachable, professional motorsport that you can go talk to the drivers, you can go visit the paddock and see the mechanics working on cars, you can go see multiple races in the U.S., I couldn't recommend IndyCar enough. And that's coming from a person who doesn't even want to watch the races there. Because I had so much. It was just Tony and Greg and I. It was just three of us yesterday, and I had a ton of fun, and it wasn't expensive at all.
No, at all.
But I think that is our episode. You can find us at 91octane.com. That is all letters, no numbers. Also, like and subscribe wherever you're listening to this podcast. Follow us on Instagram at 91octane. If you want to send us any emails, info@91octane.com. Any last words, Tony?
F1, send John tickets before you lose them.
As if they care. But yeah, but you did that. Yeah, send them. I still won't go. All right. Good night.